You're listening to Small and Mighty Conversations, a podcast celebrating and supporting the small business owner and creative entrepreneur. With your host, me, Sam Burgess. You're listening to Season 4, Episode 10. Hello everybody and welcome to the final episode of Season 4. I can't believe we have whizzed through 10 episodes and Season 5 is just around the corner as well. I'll be starting later on in the autumn for another 10 episodes to lead you up to Christmas. But today I am chatting with Kate Taylor. Kate is a creativity and empowerment coach, master neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, clinical hypnotherapist, Koya teacher, writer, and speaker on a mission to help us live an embodied life full of creative expression. Kate has also got a product, which is a practical magic activation deck, which I have had the pleasure of having a little play with, which I absolutely love, and I really urge you to get one yourself. But do have a little listen to the episode. So Kate has some amazing nuggets of wisdom that she shares with us, as well as what it was like doing a Kickstarter campaign and lots of other fabulous things. So without further ado, on with today's show. Hi, Kate. Welcome to Small and Mighty Conversations.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me.
You are very welcome. I would love to kick off the show today with you just telling the listeners who you are, what you do, where you come from. Bit like Cilla Black on Blind Date. Just share with everybody who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you for having me on. My name is Kate Taylor. I am I call myself a life design and empowerment coach, but actually that's a catch-all term for wearing many different hats and doing many different things. So predominantly I'm a coach and I work with women, helping them to get into the most creative expression of themselves. And what that means is that whilst I love to help people to get from A to B and create beautiful, bold vision of what they want in their lives and help them get there. What I'm really interested in is that's the practical side of it. I'm really interested in what's the magic as well. So what's the magic in terms of creative expression, of tuning into our intuition, of really empowering us to be everything that we want to be. And then that's the whole range, the wholeness of ourselves. And that's what I call the magic. So life design and empowerment coach. I've been doing this. I stepped out of corporate world about 6 or 7 years ago. I used to work in advertising and marketing world. Mm-hmm. And I very much noticed that there were just so many incredible women who were just so confident and brilliant in their skills, but not in themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they were so good at what they were doing, but they weren't stepping up and into their space. And so in a very male dominated environment, that meant that they were getting sidelined for things, that if they were mothers, they weren't getting recognized for what they were doing, that the ego within the workspace meant that their ideas were getting taken. And I was like, this ain't happening anymore. I can, you know, you are the most talented people I've ever seen. And that's often the case. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to work with predominantly women to get them to tune into what it is to be exactly them in whatever shape, form that is, and encourage them to really step into that. Quite often that means, you know, going off and doing different projects or getting the promotion you want or just being okay with being a woman and having this full and rich life and saying no to things too. So that's how it all came to be. And since then, it's been a complete kind of journey of creativity and intuition, ending up in creating amazing events and retreats and workshops and products and wearing many hats, being the proverbial slashy, as it were. So that's me.
Amazing. Well, what was that real turning point for you? Was this something that really triggered it? Because you've mentioned, you know, amazing people not kind of living up to their, you know, what they could really achieve. But was this something specific that kind of made you think, right, I'm getting out of this corporate world now. I'm going out on my own.
100%. So as with most of the things, when people are working for themselves, there is that point, isn't there? There is that switch when something happens and you think, I can't live on this autopilot anymore. This isn't working for me. Mine very much was I was doing really well in my career, you know, getting paid all the dollar, having a really great business title, having the, you know, the respect of everybody that I worked with, clients and people in my team too. But there was something inside of me that wasn't quite respecting myself. Mm. And I was very much in that period of my life where I was early 30s, climbing my way up the ladder. I'd had a period of really awful things happening. Both my parents had passed away, and I'd been in a marriage, and I wasn't sure I wanted to be in it. And it was all of the things that in that turning point in life that there's no amount of white wine you can consume that helps you get your head clear about what's next. I knew there was something else. I knew I wanted to work with people. I knew I had something else to offer and be of service to the world. I wasn't quite sure what that was. But actually, the pivotal point was really weirdly getting a massage from a friend. And she said, "Oh, have you thought about working with a coach?" And I was like, "We have done therapy and I've done all of this. Yeah, maybe let's just give it a try." And I found the whole process so incredibly cathartic. And I thought, you know, if I could, it literally did turn things around for me. So I thought, if I can take this incredible wisdom and power that I've had and I can bring this for other people, then that was the thing that kind of set the precedent. And from that point onwards, like, everything has shifted, and it continues to daily.
Incredible. And I think you're absolutely right. I think there comes this point where it can be, you know, life-changing events, you know, losing loved ones, marriage breakups, or just relationship breakups, that can kind of spiral things. Or sometimes it can just come completely out of nowhere. You can be sat in a meeting and it's suddenly like you're hit by a lightning strike and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, can't do it anymore. And what is that thing? And this is really, well, you know, this is what people come to me, you know, it's often I'm stuck at a crossroads. I don't know what this is. You know, where do I go next? People get completely stuck, and it turns out to be showing up in terms of demotivation, lack of self-esteem, because their dial's being set to something else they think they should be doing, rather than tuning into the self and being guided by that. And that's what causes so much disconnection, I think, and so much disembodiment and disenfranchise.
Definitely. And I think, you know, a lot of it is because we're put on certain paths, whether that's by parents, society, just general expectations. We're kind of put on this path, and it's like, you know, you will go to school and you will do well at school and you will do your A levels and you will go to university and you will get a degree and then you'll do a graduate program and then you'll meet someone and then you'll fall in love and then you'll move in together and then you'll get married and then you'll have babies, and you're like, wow, my whole life's been mapped out from A to B for me.
Yep. And that says that life is linear. That says that you have these certain points that you have to meet in life. Otherwise, you are a complete and utter failure. Mm-hmm. And life doesn't work like that. It is cyclical. It works in flow. It works in cycles. It works in ebbs. Sometimes you cha-cha. Sometimes you pivot. Sometimes you go backwards. And actually, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And what I truly believe is, when we make it of our making, in whichever way that is, like really getting away from the shoulds and the obligations, then you can have a much more resilient and whole experience of life, all of it, rather than what you think you should be doing.
Absolutely. Completely agree. So when it came to setting up on your own and as a business, what kind of process did you go through to kind of step out of corporate life?
Well, I'd love to tell you that I had it all in place. And
wouldn't we all?
Wouldn't we all? But I think we can be really honest here. Mine was a case of, like, if I didn't jump at that point, something was going to happen, which would probably end up with me getting sued by the person I was working for. No, it got to a point where, and it was, you know, as with most things in life, it was more about me than about any other situation. I couldn't be there anymore. Everything was scratchy. Everything was itchy. Nothing felt good. So I just had to take the leap. And I'd done all of the training. And, you know, in my mind, I was like, yes, well, I have a certain amount of clients in place before I leave the corporate world. And it just didn't work like that.
It was exactly the same.
Exactly. I just had to jump and hope that the safety net was the trampoline I was hoping it for. And it was. So what did I do? I painted the house for about a month.
Love that. Love that. That was like me in December, you know, launching a brand. I think I was launching a brand in 60 days, my rebrand. I thought, I think I'll redecorate my living room.
Yeah, brilliant procrastination.
Yep.
Works every time. I called up a lot of friends and went, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. And then I had my brilliant friend, Lucy. I don't know if you know Lucy Sheridan, the coach. Well, we trained and both left our corporate jobs at the same time. We trained at the same place. We've got this beautiful synchronous story of how we came to know each other.
Oh.
And it was great because she was always on the other end of the phone. And mm-hmm. if you know and have heard and heard Lucy speaking, she's such a great person to have in your corner. So anytime I was having the wobbles, I could call her up and she would be like, right, come on, babe, you're the CEO of your house. You step into that. You're the chairman. You make this happen. So having the systems in place or having people in place was really, really good for me. And it was a case of, and has been a case ever since, of making it up as I'm going along, trying things out, having a business brain, so, you know, having the vision, having the strategy, but trying things out as I'm going along and not being afraid to make mistakes. I think those have been my biggest processes, to be honest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think it's really important to know when you're starting a business, you are going to make so many mistakes, but it's fine. And you will learn from every single one of them. And the chances of you repeating them is pretty slim because you learn such a lesson.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, we are creative beings at the source of who we are. So, and we're resilient and we're brilliant and we're, you know, we can learn so much. And I think actually failing is a super tool for confidence. It sounds a weird thing to say, and I'm sure you've talked about it before, but it really is. I was looking at somebody's Facebook meme the other day who's also a fellow coach and entrepreneur, and it was just talking about how when you start out in business, the amount of hours you lose to webinars, the amount of hours you lose to email marketing strategies, and the amount of hours you spend on the phone to people in crisis. And then it kind of, it gets to a point where you're like, okay, right, I'm starting to see the effort of that, you know, and it takes a bit of time. Like there's mm-hmm. there's no quick wins here, mm-mm. but it's making sure you've got your team around you. Having somebody in place, having a mentor, having a coach, like that's been so powerful for me, because even when you're at the worst of, because you do, you're up and down all the time as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And in those moments when you really need it is just reaching out and saying, look, I'm having a wobble today. Can you help me? That's been so important.
I think, you know, I think that is exactly it. Whether you go down the mentor coach route or if you go down just having good business friends that are logical and understand, and that is not your actual friends. They're people who also run small businesses. And I've talked about that endlessly in podcasts before, that business buddies are the most important thing, because being a self-employed and running your own business is incredibly isolating and incredibly lonely. And your friends and family, if they don't run their own business or have never run their own business, have absolutely no idea what it's like.
No. And, you know, whilst they can be an incredible support, they will be looking at it through their own glasses as well, of like, well, why don't you go back and get a job? Everything was a lot simpler when you did that, right? No, I was tearing my soul out, but you know, that's okay, that's the payoff.
But it was a steady paycheck and you got holiday and sick pay.
Exactly.
And you're like, yeah that's it, yeah, I'm gonna slog my guts out for 20 days holiday a year.
Mm-hmm. My soul,
yeah,
for now. But no, you're right about the business buddies thing, because I think what's really good about that is that sometimes they can see a point that you can't, and it's good to have an objective business buddy. You know, sometimes they can see an idea or a part of the strategy that you haven't been able to see, or something that you may have spoken to them about before that you might have forgotten about, that they can reflect on and say, oh, well, what about this thing that you spoke about there, and go, oh yeah, that was something that was a genius idea. I need to rework on that. It's great support.
I'm great at coming up with ideas for other people's businesses.
Oh, me too.
I'm like, you should be doing this. This would be really good. This will make you loads of money. Yeah, I think you should go and do that. And then I can spend a whole day with a blank piece of paper trying to come up with something for my own business. And it's just like,
that's the thing, right, isn't it? Because the people that we have around us, and I'm going to talk in terms of energy because I think it's important.
Yes.
It's not too woo-woo, but energy is energy, and regardless of what your spiritual faith is, you know, energy is just something that you can feel with people. Mm-hmm. So having your team around you, and I mean, they don't have to be people that actually work for you, they can be people that work around you as well, is they are kind of, you're tuning into them and they are tuning into you. So sometimes it's just really great for you to help with them, that they can help you step out of your own way. Because that blank piece of paper, as you were saying, is us being in our own way.
Yeah, definitely.
So they help you to do that.
They do indeed. And I'm always so grateful when friends sort of pipe up and go, oh, I hope you don't think I'm speaking out of term, but I was thinking, you know, what if you did this, or would that work? Or, oh, I was just wondering, or I'd seen somebody else was doing this and I thought maybe you could do something similar and adapt it. And I'm like, thanks. Thank
you. That's amazing, isn't it?
That's what I need. And I need friends that aren't afraid to pipe up, or for me to say, oh, I'm thinking of launching this, and them to go, don't think that's going to work. I mean, be like, why? And then point out all the flaws that I hadn't even seen, and be like, yeah, thank you so much for pointing all of that out. I really appreciate it. Now I can go and work on it, or just scrap the whole thing altogether because you've made me realise.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I know that I'm quite strong-willed. When I come up for, I call it the shower of dreams. So when something comes up for me in the morning, and it, you know, when you get the whole body shivers and it's just like something has just landed. I don't know if you've read Big Magic, but it's like when Elizabeth Gilbert talks about when an idea comes through. And again, that's like energy. It's been out in the ether and it's landed in your body. Sometimes those ideas are the ones that are never going to leave you alone.
No,
they're just not. So you have to be slightly careful with sharing those out with people, because if they're going to be cutting it down because it's new, they don't understand it, that you can get put off from doing things, full stop. Whereas if you might say to somebody, slightly change that question, I've been thinking about doing this, however, what I really need your support with is all of the things I kind of haven't thought about, or maybe I'm missing, what do you think they might be? So rather than cutting your idea down, that they might give you a critical reflection of where you might be missing points.
Absolutely. And I think you can quickly tell which friends are the ones that are going to be able to do that and do it with the right motive, rather than those who just want to knock you down a peg or two, you're better than them.
I know. I mean, my other half, bless him, the journey that we've been on over the last 7 or so years, whilst because we both left our agency permanent roles around the same time. He went freelance and I went freelance and setting up my business. So it's been, whilst, you know, he's a designer and he can go in and get the job, I've been creating something new, and literally it must feel to him like I've been creating new businesses within my business pretty much every week. And sometimes I think he just thinks I'm insane, because I'm like, oh, I've got this idea, I've got to bring this deck out. Oh my God, I've got this idea, I'm going to do a festival. And he's like, what are you doing now?
Slow down, woman.
I'm like, no, but it's going to be really amazing. And then he has to just kind of come on board. So he gets
Yeah, don't fight it, just go with it.
Don't judge me, just love me.
I love that. You've mentioned the deck there, so let's explore that, because I know you did a Kickstarter campaign, wasn't it, to launch the Practical Magic deck. So let's talk about that. Tell us what it is, where the idea came from, and what that process was like.
Yeah, so the Practical Magic Activation Deck is something that I launched last year, as you say, through Kickstarter. So what it is, I don't know if any of you use any tarot or oracle decks.
I'm a big tarot.
Brilliant. Offer. Okay, well, I call this like the personal life coach in a box. So it works in the same way that any tarot, wisdom, oracle deck does, in that you get to pull a card and you get to have a moment of tuning in with yourself and your intuition, because that's all that these cards do. Tarot is the same, wisdom cards are the same. You're tuning in to what's going on for you. You're tuning into your intuition. So the idea is with the Practical Magic deck is that it takes all of the tools that I have. So I call it my blended melting pot of goodness, which is coaching, neuro-linguistic programming, meditation, movement. I do a movement practice called Koya. It takes everything from the practical and the spiritual worlds, all the ancient technologies, and it pulls them all into a 56 card deck. Now, the cards are split into four pillars of calm, create, empowerment, and vitality. So that's kind of all the things that you need to really tune into yourself. And every single card has an activation exercise to it. So you don't just with a tarot or wisdom card, you pull a card, you have a moment of reflection, you can take the lesson you need for the day, and then you move whichever way you need to. With the deck, it means that you've got a toolkit So every time you pull a card, you can tune into that card and get the wisdom that you need for yourself. But then you have an exercise that goes with it. So it might be an NLP exercise. It might be a meditation. It might be a video to go and watch. It might be a playlist to go and download. There's something that you can activate that activates your magic from that point onwards. It's brilliant.
That sounds fabulous. And do you just pull a card a day, or like when you've had you've got a problem, or either?
Yeah, I do. I tend to pull a card every day, but very much I love to use them whenever I'm stuck on mm-hmm. something. So say mm-hmm. if I can't get an answer to something, or there's something that's rattling around in my brain that won't go away, rather than trying to work it all out up there, I'll go to the deck and pull a card on it. So it's been really interesting. So we launched a Kickstarter campaign for it last year. I've got a wonderful friend of mine, Matt, to do the illustrations. They're very pop art. They're very, very cool, you know, really vibrant cards. There's no angels or unicorns in place. I love those, but then just weren't for this.
No.
And so what's been really magic about it is we did a Kickstarter that went well. We got the money for it. It came out in August last year. And what's been really lovely that since it's come out into the world is hearing how people are using it. So people are using it, like you say, once a day, whenever they want to tune in, whenever they're stuck on something, but they've been using it with their partners at work. And I'm really loving seeing how people are using it in different contexts. It's been fab.
I was really fascinated by them, and I was so looking forward to talking to you about them and learning more, because I was just like, I'm really intrigued. I'm really interested. I love tarot. I love cards. I love tapping into my intuition. And I kind of thought this would be so good for me to use with clients when we do like a content marketing day, and we do that first kind of initial intensive day to kind of look at different things in a different way. And it'd just
absolutely
be a new activity. It'd be ideal.
And that's the thing, because it's just taking a moment, like I, you know, pertained to a minute ago. Sometimes we can overthink things, can't we? We get things rattling around in our heads. And this is why it is the practical and the magic, because it's really about the head and the body and the conscious and the unconscious mind coming together. Because when we're in alignment with all of it, you know, it's like when you're really stuck on something. And in your head, you're kind of going, oh, God, you can't work this out. You've got lost again. Blah, 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 as it does.
Go watch Netflix. Abandon ship.
Yeah, exactly. Abort. And it's noisy. That voice is really noisy. Whereas your intuition and your soul guidance, I like to call it, whatever you want to call it, is softer. And sometimes it can't be heard. But when you pull a card and you tune in with a card, it can never be wrong. And it's that energy is just saying, hang on, let's just take a pause. Let's take a breath. I'm going to talk to you because your head's too noisy at the moment. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because whenever anybody pulls a card, they're like, you could just see their faces. I love it. They just go, oh, for God's sake, I knew I was going to get this card. It's like, yeah, because you've been trying to ignore it for so long and it's not working out for you. So actually, when you pull a card and tune in, whether you understand the card or not, it's exactly the card you need. It's brilliant.
It's like forcing you to confront as well and stop ignoring something that you know. The thing is, we know the answers. We have the answers inside of us, like 99.9% of the time. We just choose to ignore what we're actually telling ourselves to do.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the tagline is to these, to activate your inner wisdom, because quite often we can think that somebody else has got all the answers. You know, we go out to Google, we type in a million things, we go out and get a million business strategies, we ask Kanye, you know, we go everywhere. But actually, we've got it all. We've got it all inside.
And read all the books, listen to the podcasts, look at the motivational quotes on Pinterest.
That's all really cool. There's some amazing resources out there. But I think the inner wisdom is the one that's going to be the one that really guides you all the way through. And on all the rest of it is the supporting cast.
Yeah, it's so true. So the Kickstarter campaign, for anybody listening, what was that process like for you actually doing a Kickstarter? Because I've no doubt there'll be listeners who are thinking, oh, I'm thinking about doing a Kickstarter, but I'm terrified.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm going to be really honest. And this is from a personal point of view. It was pretty daunting. The thing is, when I go to do anything is I get so super excited about the idea. I get laser focused on it. I put all of everything into it. Matt and I, you know, and we had some amazing people helping us out. I read a brilliant book beforehand, which is called The Crowd Sorceress, which if anybody is going to do a Kickstarter campaign, I suggest that you buy this book. It is going to be your Bible.
Oh, amazing. And I shall link that in the show notes.
Yes. And it was a brilliant, brilliant piece of resource to kind of get you because launching a Kickstarter campaign is basically, it is your business launch. Mm-hmm. So you do it in the same way you would. You plan it out the 8 weeks in advance, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we went full on into it. It was great. We had our video, you know, we did all the campaigns leading up to it. It was something dropping, got some really great content, lovely videos, great animations that Matt did. And then launched it and it was amazing. You know, people going crazy, bid, that's really cool. And then something happens, which always happens in crowdfunding campaigns, and it's called The Plateau, which is terrifying. And yeah, somebody had told me it was going to happen, but it didn't matter. I was hitting refresh every 5 seconds.
It's like ticket sales for events. It has exactly the same thing. Peak, plateau, peak, sold out.
I'm in it at the moment. And I can fully attest to that. Kickstarter's a great platform for crowdfunding. But what I would encourage people to do if you're thinking about it is just do a bit of research into the different types of platforms there are. Yeah. Kickstarter is all or nothing, which was probably the most daunting thing about it. So basically, if you don't hit your funding target, and we had a £15,000 crowd that we wanted to raise, mm-hmm. and if we'd got to $14,999 on the day that it closed, we wouldn't have got any money. So, you know, all of that effort that you put into it, it would have been for nothing. So that is pretty daunting, and it does play with your ego. There was many times when I'd launched it, I just wanted to turn it all off because it felt too much. But it was fun, and it makes you get really creative in different ways. Yeah. And
I love the videos on Kickstarters. That yeah. is really what sells it. I don't really care that much about what people are offering for the bids. If you've bought me into your idea through your video, I'm going to bid. I'm going to get involved.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing about it. And it really, really pushes you as a marketeer to think about your story mm-hmm. and the why. I mean, I think the best one I ever saw was Final Straw, which is a collapsible metal straw that you put in a like a little car keys on a key ring.
Oh, I need one of those in my life.
It's really good. But their video for Kickstarter was genius, and it was so funny. I mean, I think it must have been done by an agency, but it was hilarious. And it was the kind of thing that you saw it and it got shared.
Yeah.
And that really did. I mean, that was their success, but along with being the right idea at the right time, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, it does make a big difference.
And I think that's just it. You've got to invest. Like, I've had people who have come to me and said, oh, you know, this is the plan for my business and stuff, and I don't work with people until they've launched or are very, very, very close to launching. And if they're doing a Kickstarter, I'm like, oh, you know, what are you doing about your video? Oh, I think I'm just going to buy a camera and just, you know, do it yourself. No, and I'm like,
no,
you can do that if you want, but not if you actually want to hit your target. It needs to be, this is potentially viral content. You've got to invest the money.
The video is everything, and the first 3 seconds of the video are everything as so well. True. And it doesn't have to be big budgets. But, you know, if you're getting across the passion behind it and really hooking people in straight away. I mean, I look back at our video and it really could have been completely different, you know. But that's just the way it is. It worked, and we had to work really hard to get the money that we did, and I'm glad that we did. We had the most brilliant conversations with people as we went along. Things changed. I read a statistic that when you do crowdfunding, that actually 90% of your funding does come from people that you know. So
really?
Gosh. Yeah. So make sure that you really are in tune with your community, that you've got a good newsletter database, that you are having conversations with people on social media, mm-hmm. that you're engaging. You know, it's a community as much as anything else.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Did you build up a good audience before you went in with the Kickstarter? Did a lot of it come from like Instagram followers, newsletter database, etc.?
Yeah, I would say, you know, that gave us a really good start. And what I did do as well is that I did a pre-launch event for Kickstarter where I got together. I'm really fortunate to have some lovely friends who are influencers as well. So Laura Jane Williams, Lola Hode, Matt was there as well, and lovely Lucy. And so I hosted a panel, and I did an invite event for, you know, other influencers and people of my community, and got them together and did a kind of a panel on creativity and why it's so important, why we need it. And then just said, look, you're my crew and I need your help. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be launching this in a couple of weeks' time. I'm going to be really asking for your help to get it out into the world. So there was a whole pre-launch that went into it as well, which was important.
Fantastic. And I, you know, that's exactly it. You know, you've got to pull on who you know. Yeah. Make the most of it. If you've got people that can help, get them behind it, get them involved. And, you know, what have you got to lose, really?
God. And that's the thing I was going to say, is like, be completely unapologetic, because most crowdfunding campaigns, whether it's when it's an all or nothing, or most campaigns really, are 30 days. Mm. So you've got 30 days to get your message across, to get that money in. So do not apologize for yourself. Like, really go for it. It's not, I don't like the word hustle. Mm-hmm. It's not something that really, you know, I even though I do myself, but
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. It's got a bit of a negative connotation now. It's like work 24/7 until you drop down dead.
Exactly, which is not what I'm about at all. In this context, what I would say, though, is be completely unapologetic, because nobody's going to know you're there unless you talk to them about it. Mm. And nobody's going to know what you need from them unless you ask them for support. Nobody's going to know how to help you get this idea into reality unless you ask them to either commit time or money or energy, or even if they can share it, they can always say no.
Yeah, it's absolutely not for them.
That's okay. Like, I think that's the thing that I really learned, is it's okay, people want to help you. And the support that we got over the deck and continuously onwards has been incredible.
Fantastic. Where did the idea for the deck come from?
Well, I use cards a lot in the movement practice that I do called Koya. So
what is that? Can you explain?
Yeah, so Koya is a movement practice for women, and it helps us to remember that we're wise, wild and free. So it takes along different movement practices. Like, it has the wisdom of yoga, it has slowing down and coming into feminine movement, and then it has the wild expression of like dancing like it's 1999 in the middle of a yoga studio.
It sounds right up my street.
Brilliant. And it's, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on how it changed my life. I'm not going to go into that now. But what we do at the beginning of every Koya session is that we pull a card. Okay. As a moment of tuning in and just having a moment of presence and what's going on for us right now. And that's always such an important part of the session. So I love using cards, but what I really wanted to create, and it just came through because it was like, how I wanted to work with a lot of people, and not everybody can afford to work one-to-one with a coach.
No.
And I also wanted to have something on hand that people could have 24 hours a day to become their own coach. So it was kind of, you know, when you follow the breadcrumbs of something, it's like, oh, there's cards here and I want to work with people in different ways. And oh, bloody hell, I could create a deck, couldn't I? And that's how it all came together. And I knew I didn't want the idea to be diluted in any way. So I knew I wanted to do it myself, self-publish, which has pros and cons, as everything. I knew I wanted it to be vibrant and have really cool artwork that went along with it. And I knew it was something that needed to be there that somebody could connect to, so that anytime they pulled a card, that they would be able to tune into their unconscious mind.
Lovely.
And it just really came from that. And it was a case of having spreadsheets, because I'm creative and a planner as well, and just going to town on like all of the stuff that I do with my clients and mm-hmm. all of the things they bring to me, encapsulating that into this form of 56 different metaphors and analogies, and then being able to do something with them. And I could have gone on for, you know, forever and always learning from people, but the 56 were the most succinct that came mm-hmm. along.
What I love about that is the fact that you've identified that not everybody can afford or maybe even want to work with a coach one-to-one, but there is another option, and it's having something that they can self-teach. I guess, which I think's fab. And obviously doing the Kickstarter campaign, obviously I assume you reached your target.
We did. It's been so sweet because I've seen loads of people since. We were at the Mindful Living show for the first time exhibiting the deck, and I've made so many incredible friends having done this process anyway, and over the last 7 years too. And so many people coming over and going, oh my god, we were watching it and we couldn't believe it. It was like we were refreshing. And just, I was like, you were doing that too? I thought that was just me. Like, we were like cheering you on from the sidelines. And I had one of my friends, I think it was like a pound out, and she was like, I'm gonna be the one that takes this over.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that.
Really lovely. So everybody was cheering us on. It was great.
Oh, that's fabulous. And that's exactly what you need is, you know, whenever you launch anything like this, you've got to have people in your corner to help. You know, I've said it many times on podcasts, but you know, the best PR is generally your friends.
Yeah.
We love PRing each other's businesses. Like, sometimes I think I should be paid for the amount of PR I do for my friends' businesses.
Yeah.
But it's just something that we do. We're terrible at PRing ourselves, but we love talking about all our friends and how good their businesses are and what a great person they are and what a great business owner they are, and they're the best mentor and the best coach and this, that and the other. We're so good at doing that, and that's what you need in your corner, especially when you're launching something like a Kickstarter.
Totally, because and it's a really good point as well, because as I said before, there's a huge amount of vulnerability that goes with it when you're launching something, whether you're launching your own business, whether you're launching a service, a product, because it's got you woven into it. And I call it, well, it's got a name, it's called Meraki, you know, when you create something that you're weaving a bit of your soul into it. So it feels like you're putting your whole self out there and going, this is me, buy me, here I am. And your ego just wants to shut down and go, who the hell do you think you are?
Oh, yes.
Don't be so ridiculous. Who's going to buy this? You're absolute talking rubbish. So it's, you need those friends in your corner. One, when you're having the wobbles, to just call them up and go, I'm seriously going to turn this all off. And then talk you off.
I can't do it. The imposter syndrome's real. Exactly. I can't do it.
So getting them to talk you off the roof is number one, really important. But two, it's even in the knowing that those people on your energetic team are out there. And do not ever be surprised that people are talking about you, they're cheerleading you, and you don't even need to know about it, but it's happening all the time. So there are conversations going on, I bet you, in rooms now about how amazing you are and how incredible you are. So don't, like, remember that this is going on. People are really championing you at your work. Your only job is to show up, to be the best that you can be. And in those days when you're not feeling at your best, that's okay too. Like, just have some time, some downtime, go and walk the dog, go and have a cup of tea with a mate, whatever it is you need to do, that will still be happening. People are still talking about you, they're still thinking about you, it's all going on.
I think the other thing as well is not to let that overwhelm you, because for me, like, you know, when I've bumped into people, or people have stopped me in a shop or said, oh my god, hi, like, I recognize you from your voice, or I watch your Instagram, and sometimes that can be really overwhelming, because suddenly it's like the pressure is dialed up on you, because you're suddenly very aware that people are looking to you and looking at what your next move is and what the next thing you're going to do is, and you feel an enormous amount of pressure. Well, I certainly do. And it's something that I never really expected to ever feel, when people are like, oh my god, you're such an influencer in the industry, you know, everybody talks about you. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah,
that's scary.
I'm just at home in my PJs, and I probably haven't changed, you know, washed my hair for 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like, it's just little old me. And it's sort of like, that is very overwhelming. So there is that fine line between knowing that obviously people are having conversations about you and people are saying really positive things and having your back, but also not letting that turn into blind panic and kind of disable your ability to come up with anything or do anything, because you're suddenly terrified because you've suddenly realized you've got a lot of people looking to you and counting on you. And it's a fine line, and it's quite a lot to deal with, and it can be quite overwhelming. When my Instagram stories challenge went viral last year, completely overwhelmed me. I was I really struggled to deal with this sudden, like, overnight success of this viral campaign. And, you know, 717 people in 14 countries worldwide participating at once. And my phone was basically vibrating so much it was jumping off the table because of the amount of notifications that were coming in. And it was just, I completely had a meltdown.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was sat on my dining room floor just like, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. I like, the imposter syndrome suddenly gripped me. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm a fraud.
I think that's a really interesting point, isn't it? And I think you take what you need and leave the rest behind. Like, yeah. I've mentioned Lucy Sheridan before. I remember when she works really, really hard to get to her first 10,000 followers. And then Zoella posted up a story about her saying, you've got to follow this woman, she's incredible. And again, it was a bit like I was saying with the Kickstarter campaign, we were all watching her subscribers, her followers go up by thousands within minutes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And she hit 20,000 within, I think, 5 hours. And yet she, you know, you might look at the outside and go, oh, look at that person. She's got all of these followers. She's still Lucy, your mate, you know. And,
yeah.
and it's really important, like you say, not to put people up on pedestals. But also, I think it's really important to celebrate people as well. So, you know, it takes a long time to get where you're going. And it's not always an easy ride. It can be challenging. So if somebody does say to you, you know, I think you're doing a really good job, I thank them. And I take a moment to stop and listen to that and let it go in before I push it away again, because we can be also so quick to push away any compliments. And it's
so true.
I so think that's important for us to celebrate.
It really, really is. And it's the same, you know, if someone says, you look lovely today, or I love your dress, rather than doing the typical, oh, this old thing, oh gosh, yeah, I've had it for ages, oh no, it was really
Primark
cheap. Yeah, exactly. Why do we always feel it necessary to say where we bought it and how much we paid for? I just say thank you very much. And it's taken a long time to kind of get to that point. And I think that probably is just part of growing up and getting older as well. But to just say thank you, and I really appreciate that.
We've been told, particularly, you know, as women, we have been told, be nice, don't be too much, don't be too big for your boots, don't be bossy, you know, play nicely, don't shout anybody, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And that all plays in.
If you take a compliment, you're vain. And it's like,
yes,
no, you're
exactly
not.
Exactly. And actually, do you know what? We do need to do this. I was just talking to my lovely friend Sarah Powell about this on an Instagram Live. She does something called self-celebration. And we were talking about this, and for me, this is like the miracles. So whilst we are looking at what we want to create, and we're looking at something in the future, and when I've got this, then everything will be okay. And we're kind of get stuck in this waiting room of, we can't do anything until that thing's happened.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, what you planted for whenever it was, you know, whether it's 12 months or whatever, it's happening all the time. So when you look around and you're able to take the compliment or notice the miracle or celebrate the fact that something's worked out in the way it has, it's just showing you that what you're aiming towards is already taking place. And I think that's really important.
I think that's really beautiful, and it's so true. I completely agree.
Yeah.
What is next for Practical Magic Living? What's coming up?
Yeah. So it's been an interesting one. So when I got the product out in the world, and it's out in like over 30 different countries, which is amazing.
Incredible.
I'm loving it. I love sending, you know, seeing when the orders come in and seeing where they're going in the world. And I always write a little note to people, and you know that it's going to do some good and they're going to really have some fun with it. So that's been amazing. And what I thought, what my ego was telling me that I would do, is when it came out, I was going to go full on. I was going to have it in all the shops, and it was going to do this and it was going to do that. And when it came out, I was like, I'm just going to let this go where it needs to go now. And it's been a really interesting time. Like, they're selling, and that's great, and that's been very organic, but I'm very much in a listening phase with them. So I'm allowing people to tell me how they're using them, get the knowledge from them. People are dropping in my Instagram and my inbox all the time going, have you thought about doing this with them? Have you thought about doing that with them? What I'd love to do with them next is that they become a tool that I can help other coaches or teachers or whoever to become practical magic coaches. Like
that sounds fabulous.
Yeah, that's kind of like the dream, and I'm playing with it. I'm feeling into it at the moment. I've gone into full launch of something else at the moment, so I'm just allowing it the space. And then I've got the second half of this year that's something I'm completely not putting anything in, because there's going to be something big that drops in. And I don't know what that is yet, but it will be one thing or another, but I know it's going to be magic, so I'm giving that the space.
Sounds fabulous. Well, if you ever need a guinea pig to practice on for teaching coaches and stuff, I'm putting my hand up.
All right, babe. I'm taking you up on that. Don't you worry.
Fabulous. Well, it sounds very exciting. And you've got retreats as well that you do, and you've got a couple coming up, I believe, later on this year.
So that's what's been so wonderful about, you know, being my own entrepreneur, is that, you know, I can have an idea in the shower of dreams and then take that into fruition. So I've been doing practical magic weekend retreats now for the last year or so, and that's been on the spring and autumn equinox on the beautiful Isle of Wight, which is where I grew up. And those have been residential weekends, and they've been fab. You know, like 10 people, we come and do practical magic, we do dance, meditation, yoga, beautiful food, nature, all that kind of good stuff. And then because I come from the Isle of Wight, I've got loads of friends over there are like, oh god, I love what you're doing, but I can't, you know, I can't really commit to a weekend. And I'd come if there was a day. And I was like, interesting, a day of something. Oh, and look at all these amazing people that I have in my community that could come and offer their gifts and their services. And what has gone from a really simple idea is now a full-blown wellness festival, a festival of wellness and self-care called The Awakening, which is happening in June, 8th of June on the Isle of Wight, which is going to be phenomenal. So that's where all of my attention is going right now.
Exciting. I think a day is quite good as well, because like if you've got childcare problems, or I have a dog, you know, dogs need care overnight. Yeah. You know,
they do.
Sometimes I haven't got anybody that can have him, and therefore I can't do like weekend stuff, but like a day, I can do a day.
Yeah. And then that's the whole reason for doing it, because, you know, I recognize that we are living in a world of busy, you know, whether that's a good thing or not. There's mums, there's entrepreneurs, there's people who have running busy lives. And actually my whole intention for The Awakening is for people to be able to put on the oxygen mask for themselves. You will come to a space, which is the most beautiful space. It's on the west side of the island. It's a manor house. It looks out over the Solent. It's truly gorgeous. And you put that oxygen mask on and you take whatever you need. So the offering is over 40 different workshops, talks, yoga, meditation, self-care sessions. And you come in and you take what you need and then you take it home with you. That's what's really important, that you can come and learn something for your own self-care or empowerment or whatever it is you need. And then you take that out into your world.
That sounds dreamy.
It's going to be lush.
Love it. Well, I think that is everything that I've got for you today, Kate, apart from my final question of whose story would you like to hear on Small and Mighty Conversations?
Oh my goodness, there are so many gorgeous souls out there. I could name hundreds. Can I name three? Would you mind?
Three? Go for it.
Okay. Number one is Hayley Southwood from Southwood Social.
Oh, I love Hayley.
She's been that woman is just the biggest cheerleader in the world, and has just, again, one of these people that when you're at home and you're doing something, you feel like you're the only person, all you've got to do is go out onto her Facebook community or reach out to her or go to one of her events, and she's the biggest cheerleader. So her, definitely. Gail Berry from Blossom and Berry. She's amazing. She's a baby massage and baby yoga teacher, and she's set up this incredible business where she's teaching other women to become baby massage and baby yoga therapists all over the world. She's just a soul full of love. She really is. And then thirdly would be Debbie Edwards from F Disruptors. So she's launched an incredible business to help women, young women going into tech and corporate industries to really step into themselves, to really live a life where they feel truly aligned and not be put off by other people or held down, or and really creating the life that they where they're empowered. And she's brilliant.
Fabulous. There are some great recommendations. Thank you very much. I will pop links to them all in the show notes for everyone to go check them out, and links to everything that we've talked about, your social, your events, the whole shebang, where they
can
buy the
deck.
There's lots. But thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, Kate. I've really, really enjoyed it. I can't wait to get my hands on a Practical Magic deck.
I can't wait to send one to you.
I'm excited. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Sam.
And that's a wrap on season 4. I hope you have enjoyed this series, and I hope you enjoyed my final episode with the lovely Kate. All the links mentioned throughout today's episode can be found in the show notes. As always, I really appreciate every single one of you that listens, and I love the ones of you that rate and review over on iTunes. If you have enjoyed this series or even just this episode, I would absolutely love if you would just take 2 minutes and rate and review on iTunes. Even if you normally listen on Spotify or something, if you have access to podcasts on iTunes, I would be super, super grateful, as every review means so much. And with the amount of podcasts that are out there now, every single rating and review really, really helps spread the word around each episode. And obviously I do make this for free, so I would really, really appreciate it, as it really kind of helps me and my business going forward. I would love for you to share where you're listening to the episode. Take a snap of where you go or where you are when you are listening to podcasts, whether you're working at home or you're off on a nice walk, dog walk, run, whatever it is, do take a snap. And don't forget to tag me on Instagram at SamBurgessUK and use the hashtag SmallAndMightyBusiness so that other people can learn about the show. And I will repost the ones that as they come through as well. So I really do appreciate it when you do tag me, because I love to hear from my listeners. Listeners, until next time, keep pushing forward. Your next great success is just around the corner.